Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie. Excited to have you with us for this program on finding value as a woman of God with our guest today, Salima Ravalcaba. She is here to talk to us about finding value as a woman of God. And if you don't know that you're a princess, that you are the bride-to-be of the Son of God, the creator of the universe, this is where you need to be right now. So we're going to talk about why it's a mistake to look for value in people, accomplishments, or acquisitions versus looking for that value in God. Also, why running from trouble, abuse, or disappointment doesn't always solve problems, including a profoundly biblical example of that, and what to do when you're facing impossible circumstances. Our guest today, Salima, is an encourager who, along with her husband, Omar, of 19 years, owns and operates two thriving Christian-based nonprofit home education programs. She has a BS in Christian Ministries and an MA in Theological Studies and is the face of Bellevue Christian Church in Memphis, Tennessee, doing the weekly introduction of their TV broadcast. She is also a speaker available to you at womenspeakers.com. And I'm super excited to welcome her to the broadcast today. Welcome, Salima.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. And this is a topic that is like every woman needs to understand her value. And actually, we don't. Right? It doesn't come naturally for us to do it unless someone has really nurtured and trained us in this.
Yes, I agree. It is definitely something that we have to continue to work at, and also believe and trust in God and his value on us as women. So right. That's definitely just very, it may not even always be something we totally arrive at some point. It's just always something that we're having to continue to be reminded of on a regular basis.
Right. And actually, because we are just human beings, we make mistakes and we do things wrong and we mess up and we say things we wish we wouldn't have and we don't do things we wish we would have. And, you know, and so there's a lot of evidence always coming at us that we're not as, you know, we're not valuable. We're not that great. And there's external voices that also tell us that, but a lot of times it's right in here.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
But then go ahead.
Yeah. And so, and then we're believing these things that we're telling ourselves. We also kind of sometimes people say things that they probably shouldn't say, but you know, and we believe these things. And so it's just, sometimes we just make the mistake of hearing the wrong thing and not hearing God's word to us that we are valued.
There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise. And so that's what, when we started, you said it's something that we work at all the time. And that's the part that we work at. We work at listening to the right voice.
Right. Yeah. God's voice.
Yeah. That's right. The truth about us instead of just how we feel today.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
No. So, and the alternative, of course, is when we feel like we're worthless or not valuable or whatever, we tend to try to develop that value through what we're doing or who we're hanging out with or what we're buying.
Right. Yes. Often there's such times we can make the mistake of just allowing everything around us to give us that value and like people and situations we're doing and like just anything. Like the topic you're finding value as a woman of God, I chose Hagar as the base for the lessons because, you know, she had to find value and understand her value because, you know, she was in a situation through no fault of her own and she didn't believe she had value. And sometimes people, especially if they're an authority over us, we can allow their treatment of us to make us feel that we're not valued when we really are. And we sometimes might think God is allowing them to treat us that way. And God, not that he's allowing them, but, you know, we might get upset at God and, you know, and the people's free will, can, you know,
affect us.
Yes. And so, but ultimately we go back to, we are valued by God.
So give us a little background for those who are listening, who maybe aren't familiar with the story of Hagar, or can't remember it right now. Tell us just a little bit of background there.
Okay. So Hagar, she is the, slave of, Abraham and Sarah, you know, she's becoming impatient with God's promise to her. And because of that, she uses Hagar. Hagar is actually an example in the New Testament as when we become impatient and we try to get God's favor. And she uses Hagar to get God's favor. And so to get a child, the promised child. And so Hagar has a child, Ishmael, but it's not the promised child that God had promised them. They had to be patient. And so ultimately, you know, and then she became, and then when Sarah had her child, Isaac, you know, she mistreated Hagar. And then Hagar, you know, end up leaving and, you know, feeling really bad about who she was. And, you know, and then she had to be reminded that God really did. He showed up to her. He saw her and she saw that she was valued by God, even though she had been mistreated by someone else.
When you chose this topic on the value of women, did that come from like a personal experience in your life where you had lost your value?
Yeah, it did. I mean, it came from a situation where I was in a professional situation where I sort of allowed that professional situation to me to put value into that and to truly trust that. And when a circumstance happened, it really, 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 I guess devastated. It was very shocking. And I really had to go into, you know, of course, I mean, you have to trust that God has value in you. I mean, we just cannot allow things like that to give us value. And that was a huge learning, painful learning experience that I had to endure. But ultimately, I am reminded my value comes from God. It comes from God. And so, you know, these things happen, but wow, God is so good at teaching us. I mean, it was very hurtful and painful, but God is so good.
So in that season of your life there, could you kind of relate to Hagar in that?
Yes, because it was a complete situation where I had no control over, like Hagar had no control over that situation. It was a complete same situation. So yes, I related to Hagar, but it's just so wonderful to know that God, you know, she's a woman who just didn't have, she's not doing all these things that we do all the time trying to get value. She was a woman and God saw her even though she was in pain and hurt. And he reminded her that she is valued. And it's just such a reminder to us that we are valued too.
Yeah. As I think about her now in this context, I think about Hagar and it probably was kind of like, if you had to be a servant, being the servant of Abraham's wife was probably a pretty high ranking servant, as servants go. Yes. None of us ever want to be a servant, but at the same time, there was probably a little bit of clout that went along with that position for her. And she may have really struggled with just that side of things too, when it turned and all of a sudden, you know, and then she gets to be Abraham's mistress as well. And that was new, we wouldn't in our culture, that wouldn't maybe be a prize to go after. But at that time, I think it kind of was. And then to be completely rejected. And even says that Sarah became abusive to her.
Yes.
And that had to be just so shocking. All I'm doing here is whatever you tell me to do. Here, I'm in trouble for that.
Wow. I mean, I'm not laughing. I'm just, it's just that it's because for me, it was, I mean, it's almost similar.
Yeah.
Similar to that situation. Right. It's like, I had to learn so much and it was so, it's such a learning experience. It was such a learning experience of just what we think and then just the value we place and just, it was such a great learning experience, but yes.
So for Hagar, there came a moment when she was actually kicked out. She was not welcome there anymore. Uh-huh. She ran off. But I think about the story of Hannah too. And I think about the story of Hannah as well. Hannah was in a household and her husband loved her very much, but she couldn't have a baby and she felt just terrible about that. Right. And sometimes when we're in a situation that's disappointing or abusive or problematic or whatever, we want to run away. But like in Hagar's situation, she was actually kicked out. In Hannah's situation, she stayed stable and stayed. You know, there's examples in the scripture of everything. How do you, like, how would you recommend that a woman in a situation that's unpleasant mm-hmm. thinks about how to decide, should I stay or mm-hmm. should I go?
Mm-hmm. Right. Definitely. I mean, obviously the situation, if it's a dangerous situation, that's mm-hmm. totally one thing. But an uncomfortable situation, you know, like Hagar, they describe her in my Bible as what her weakness is, just was running. And mm-hmm. to me, you know, what I learned is that when we just completely leave every situation that is uncomfortable, we run the risk of viewing ourselves as victims. And we might take that same situation to a different situation. For example, if you're at a, you know, a church and someone, a leader hurts you, and if we don't resolve that, we can go and take that same, we will look at other leaders through the same lens, and we're not mm-hmm. going to have healing. And so we always want to go and try to resolve the issues with that we're having with the people, because sometimes people hurt us, and it may be, they may not have intended to hurt us. Mm-hmm. You know, every situation is not somebody's intending to do something wrong. They could easily say, I'm so sorry. I did not know mm-hmm. I hurt you. So it's always best to try to resolve those issues if possible, because we're mm-hmm. and then we get to learn so much about ourselves. In my case, I spent so many weeks, even though in my situation, I felt like I was, it was very hurtful, but I still learned so much about me and my mm-hmm. thoughts and what I was mm-hmm. thinking and just the mistakes I made. Mm-hmm. You know, it just wasn't that situation. I had to learn a lot about, mm-hmm. you know, I had to learn something too about how I impacted that situation. So it's always, to me, it's just best to always try to go to God, seek him, pray and talk to him, and let him direct that the next steps in these situations.
In the story of Hagar, and maybe I was wrong about mm-hmm. this, did she run away or was she kicked out?
She left. She left
on her own.
Yeah. And the treatment, her treatment was, it was a situation where she felt like almost she had to.
Right.
Because of the treatment she was enduring.
Right. Right. Yeah. But you said somebody had a thought that she had, that was kind of her weakness was running
away. Yeah. My commentary here uh-huh. in my Bible, they have a description huh. of different characters. And that is one of her descriptions as a weakness is of running away.
You know, one of the things, I work with so many leaders, and mm-hmm. one of the things I always say to a leader is your greatest strength will always be your greatest weakness. Okay. Yes. You know, it's like you can't have such a big strength without yeah. having a corresponding weakness.
Yeah.
She was so loyal and she was so, mm-hmm. you know, just wanted to do a good job. And then mm-hmm. when it all went south, it was just devastating to her. I feel like just overwhelming.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never thought of it as a weakness that she left. I've always actually thought, kind of, I really like what I said earlier. Yeah. I kind of thought she got kicked out. So,
yeah, I mean, and to be honest with you, I didn't realize it in that perspective either, but it helped me think when we leave every situation, we run the risk of not learning and growing and kind of seeing it, our impact in those situations.
Yeah. So in her story, then she ends up out in the desert mm-hmm. under a tree, no water.
Yeah.
She and her son are about ready to die.
Yeah.
And that's when God shows up. Yeah. It's like, I hate it when he waits so long like that. It's like, come sooner.
Yeah, I know. But yes, that's how it is.
A lot of times.
And then he reminded her that I see you mm-hmm. and that you are valued to me despite what has happened to you. Mm-hmm. So that's a great,
hope. Yeah. There's hope in that for all of us, no matter what situation you're in, whether you're still staying, whether you've run, whether you've been mm-hmm. kicked out, whatever it is, you know, there's so much hope. So what do you do when you're facing an impossible circumstance?
Well, as we learn our value as women, we naturally will begin to learn that we go to God. We go to God mm-hmm. when we're in situations, because we know that he is going to guide us. So we go to God through prayer, through reading his word, keeping journals with his promises. I have a journal with his promises of different ones like fear and provision and courage, just different verses that we can keep and say them every day and constantly ask him to guide us through those situations. Because when those situations happen, it's like we want to say, okay, Lord, what's happening? We're going to him because we want to understand what's happening. And that's understanding that he values us so much as human beings and as women He will help us and he will guide us through that situation. We cannot do that on our own. We just can't.
Yeah. You know, we can guess and we can try and we can do the best we can, but we can't have the eternal reward. We can't have the supernatural involvement unless we ask him to be involved.
Right.
I mean, that's our choice.
Exactly.
We can say, no, I'll do it myself, or else we could say, please help
me. Exactly.
You know, so I love that. And what you said was go to, and that's the phrase I love to use. Where do you go to? Where do you go to when you're in trouble? Where do you go to? And I find myself so much during the days just saying the name of Jesus, just Jesus help, Jesus, you know. And even this morning I had a perplexity. I was like, I'm not sure what to do here. And I just prayed about it and I thought, in the right time, I'll know. And then later it showed up a way that I knew what to do, and it turned out so well.
Right.
And you know what? It always doesn't feel like it turns out well. But you have this peace that comes that you did the right thing, that you did what God was putting in your heart to do.
Yes, that's so true. Yes, I feel the same way, exact same way. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Same way.
Right. And it isn't always beautiful how it turns out. I mean, Hagar's story actually didn't end just all rosy.
No, it didn't. But the fact that she found value, that she understood that she was valued by God. Yes,
right.
That, you know, the circumstances.
Changes everything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and that's what's the beauty of it. Yeah,
That's so great. Well, as we close here, do you have a? I think you have a life verse. What is your life verse?
1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Someone gave me that verse several years ago, and it really opened my eyes to everything that I am doing in my marriage, with my children, working, everything that I do. To make sure I'm doing it to honor God in it. And so it just makes a difference when we're looking at everything through making sure we're trying to honor God in all that we're doing.
That's great. That's great. And this has been so fun to just chat about this. This is one of your topics that you speak on. You've got more information about that over at womenspeakers.com. You guys can check that out. And you're available to speak at women's conferences and events, and even at homeschooling events. So great to have you here. And thank you for bringing us this encouragement today.
Yes, this was wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Okay, thank you. And you guys, thanks for being here. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Everybody, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. I'm excited to have you here with us this afternoon with our guest, Stacy Nguyen, for a conversation about deconstruction, your faith journey. And we're going to be talking about the definition of reconstruction and why it's critical after seasons of devastation. Also, how to make God your true north and why you need him as your compass. Why wrestling with God is fine, and what deconstruction looked like in the Bible. Also, we're going to talk about how God empowers and equips women to further his kingdom. Our guest today is Stacy Nguyen. She's a speaker, author, coach, corporate leader, and mom who ministers within the tension of deconstruction, especially to women of faith who have left destructive marriages. Stacy's passion is equipping others to find freedom in Christ, to confidently identify erroneous teaching and harmful theology, and to gain clarity and purpose. You can learn more about Stacy at clarityunleashed.com and also invite her to speak at your next event via womenspeakers.com. And right now I want to welcome Stacy. It's so great to have you here. Stacy, welcome.
Hi, Marnie. It's so good to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And thanks for joining us, because this is kind of I know when you first told me about the word deconstruction, I was like, I don't know that word. I had to look it up. Is it really a word? But you've actually just grabbed this word as a word of hope for women who have been through a devastating life experience.
Yes, yes. And what I've found, and in my own experience and with the women that I've worked with, is as you go through a very traumatic experience in your life, you tend to ask God a lot of questions and perhaps mm-hmm. struggle a lot with faith, with community, with people that you believed in and journeyed in during your Christian walk. And all of that kind of comes to a head. Deconstruction is an opportunity to start to really separate your faith in Christ from perhaps what had been toxic theology. And unfortunately, that happens. And the process is one that I would define really as what others might call spiritual formation. It really just is a grappling with your faith, coming to God with all of your questions. He knows them anyway. That's what I always tell people. You're not giving him any surprises, but it's a lot of introspection and can feel a little bit lonely. So it's nice to know that others are on the path with you.
So I often phrase it like this, is that, you know, we have this foundation of faith, but sometimes there's just missing pieces to it or broken sections. So is that kind of what you're helping women go backwards, deconstruct? Let's see where the weaknesses are here so that we can build a real strong from where you are now.
Absolutely. And I like that you use the puzzle metaphor, because that's how I envision it, is you're sitting in front of a lot of pieces and you get to put them back together again. And the end result is one that, you know, you get to see your purpose more clearly. Your image and all of that becomes so much more clear. But it's a very purposeful process of evaluating the parts of your tradition that served you well and perhaps don't. But it's all coming back and building a stronger faith.
Yeah, I just love that. And you talk about God as the true north. When, you know, you start to talk about this, that we're going to deconstruct, or that, you know, we got to get down to the foundations, and it can feel really scary.
It can.
But I love this analogy of God being the true north, in that it's okay. You're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good reminder to us, because especially as women, I think that we can go through our lives and place direction in our lives on other things. So career, for example, can be one of those things, even family. So good things can be a directional pull for us. And what happens sometimes is when we continue on that path and use that thing as our directional pull in our life, we can get off track with faith. We can even build idols in our lives that don't serve our faith well. Mm-hmm. So using God as our true north is really important, because that's really, in the end, the only thing that doesn't change in our lives.
It is so easy to get idols in there. I just still remember being a younger mom. My kids weren't teenagers yet. And I remember the day that God really convicted, just opened my eyes to the reality that I thought I was really, it was really all about me being their mom. And how I still remember him just prompting the questions to my heart. Mari, what do you think would happen if I took you out of the picture, if you died? What do you think would happen? And it was harsh, Stacey. I remember thinking, oh, life would go on for them.
Yeah.
That's just shocking. But, you know, I think it's good for us to recognize that it's very easy for that to happen, whether it's a spouse or a close friend or a pastor or whatever. It's easy for us to misplace our trust, our faith in anything but Jesus.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he has a way of reminding us of this periodically in life. So coming back to, you know, some of those experiences we have and the devastations, the trauma, that we can worry that some of the questions we ask of God, some of the problems that we've encountered might take us off course, or that it's even wrong to ask. So the word wrestling is one that I come back to a lot, and just how our very faith was just founded on wrestling. If we look at the story of Jacob in Genesis, and his wrestling with God turned into a blessing and really the foundation for Israel. right? So that's, I think I like to go back there and just affirm with women that it's okay. It's actually a preferred way to interact and ask questions with God.
Mm-hmm. You know, and he is, his shoulders are so broad. He is so big. You can tell him anything. Like you said earlier, he already knows it anyway. Mm-hmm. It's already been all paid for on the cross. There's nothing here except for healing for us. That's really it.
Yes. And I would say I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of women that have come out of destructive marriages, but in just generally in life, I think it's important for women to understand that they get to lead their spiritual journey. So they're spiritual leader. And just what you said, Romans 8, 38 and 39 is a great foundational passage there, just as a reminder that absolutely nothing separates us from the love of God in Christ. Even asking questions, wrestling doesn't separate us. Nothing that we've done or could possibly do can separate us from his love.
And I just want to even take this a bit farther. And I don't know if you've had this experience, I'm assuming you have, but where it's really even okay to really, really be emotional with God. And I mean, there have been some times in my life where I have just been railing at God. Where are you? What are you doing? And he is so faithful to a truly seeking heart. It doesn't work for us to play games with him, but it works for us to come honestly with our whole emotional girl selves and just let him have it. And I always say he's the only one that can handle all my junk, but he wants
it. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's completely good, to wrestle. And, you know, one of the passages, I think deconstruction, as you said, sometimes people hear that and say, well, you're getting rid of your faith or you're walking away from God. And that's not it at all. And actually with fresh eyes, I look at Paul's story on the road to Damascus. And I see that as a deconstruction journey for him, because he was a follower of God. He was a strict follower of God. Yet he was persecuting the followers of Christ until he met and interacted with Christ in that remarkable way on the road to Damascus. And literally his sight changed and he met his Lord in a new and powerful way. And every time, whether you're talking about Jacob or you're talking about Paul, the minute that we're met by Christ, our worldview shifts. And for Paul, I love that image of the scales falling from his eyes, because I think that's what happens. I think the scales start to fall from our eyes and we recognize how we walked before with God. We'll never walk the same again. Our lives change as a result.
Right. And even, you know, working with a believer, there is deconstruction that has to happen. I think of Peter, who spent time with Jesus in the flesh, learned everything Jesus was teaching him, and still later had to have the vision of, you know, the animals coming down, and he had to rechange his thinking to align with God's. All of us, all throughout our journey with Christ, God is asking us to be open to the input that he wants to give us now, to heal us now, to take us to the next level now. Absolutely. Right. So how does God empower and equip women to further his own kingdom, God's kingdom?
From the very beginning, we could look at Genesis and look at Eve and see how she was created as a counterpart of just a powerful help in the garden. And from that very beginning, I think one of the mistakes that we make is not looking enough at women in scripture, because there are some fascinating stories that we can really align ourselves with and use in our lives, whether it's Hagar's story or the Samaritan woman or Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany. Like, there's so many stories that come to my mind. And in the book, I try to pull out some of those to see them with fresh perspective.
Yeah, so I think absolutely.
Other than looking more at women in scripture, I think just elevating and empowering women to tell their stories. We learn from that. We learn from each other. To equip and empower women is my passion. And I think we can't do enough of it.
I just love that. Ed Silvoso has a book called Women, God's Secret Weapon. And he brings out scripture that talks about how God loves to use women to for further his kingdom. And you have a book that's by this same title, Deconstruction. Mm-hmm. We want to just talk about how people can learn more about you, Stacey, over at your website, clarityunleashed.com. If people go over there, what are they going to find?
So you'll find a tab that talks about the new study journal and also has some downloads and audio that you can hear from each of those modules. I'm doing some small groups with that, so you can definitely check in with me and get in on a small group for that. You can purchase the book through Amazon. I have a blog and podcast that I'm kind of haphazard with, but I've got some stuff out there on deconstruction. And I also host on Sundays on Facebook, through Facebook, a Zoom ministry just specifically around deconstruction.
That's awesome. And I know you're also available to speak. You guys can learn more about inviting Stacey to your next event over at womenspeakers.com. And again, her website is clarityunleashed.com. Stacey, thank you for being God's flow through vessel for this material that's so needed. And thank you for just your willingness to step into heartbreaking, messy situations and come alongside women and help them to stand back up after they've been knocked down to the ground. I'm just so grateful to you for what you do. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Marnie. It's been such a pleasure.
And thanks you guys for joining us. Can't wait to see you again, and hope you have a wonderful rest of the day. Until next time, bye-bye.